Hey, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. This is a bonus podcast this week. Kind of it wasn't a last minute launch episode, but it kind of turned into one due to a deadline that we end up talking about in this podcast. So I want to do a pre-intro about that deadline right now, and then we talk about it in a little more detail in this episode with Philip. Right now in Muskogee County, Georgia, they're trying to shut down bow hunting. HunterNation.org put this out. Basically, there's a Columbus City Council meeting at 5:30 on Tuesday, March 9th. Hunter Nation members will be there to testify against this ban. They're trying to ban bow hunting. It's crazy. Hunters need to act now to stop the ban on bow hunting.
Trying to ban bow hunting in the whole county.
Yeah, it's crazy. But this is just where this stuff snows. It starts here, and then snowballs to everybody else. So Columbus Trade Center, 801 Front Avenue, Columbus, Georgia, is where the city council meeting is. And then there's a list of everyone's phone numbers and emails for the different districts that have a part in this. So we're going to put this link in the description. Please email and tell them, you know, respectfully, this is a bad move. Don't do it. Let our voices be heard here. So we were going to launch this later in the month. They moved the date forward, I think, to try and sneak it in on us as hunters and our culture, and we're just not going to do it. So we're going to launch this episode before. But that being said, thanks for being here. I'm going to get through the business really fast. The podcast is brought to you by HHA Sports, Scent Crusher, Big Time, Rogue Ridge, The Grind Turkey Decoys, Rogue Ridge are e-bikes, Old Barn Taxidermy, Gator Outdoors, and our veteran shout out is brought to you by, we don't have one this week, but we will next week. This is a bonus episode, remember. The veteran shout out is brought to you by HHA USA, hhausa.org. Also, Victory Archery, Thermoseat, Loophole Optics, and Slick Trick. So thank you to our partners for supporting what we do, and we appreciate you for supporting them and supporting us and tuning in. But I don't know. What do you think, Eric? This was a fun episode.
Very fun episode. I mean, it was very laid back and fun. Then we got to the business and talked about this new bill that they're trying to pass. So it was very informative and fun at the same time.
Philip's a cool guy.
Yeah, very cool guy.
Real cool guy. Somebody that I've watched a lot, you know, in and out of the Realtree videos growing up.
Really so big into turkeys.
Super humble. Yeah. Like, he just kind of acts like, I worked at Realtree. It's fine.
He kind of reminds me of Pitts a little bit.
Yeah, you can tell they're from the same vibe. It's a Georgia thing, maybe.
I think so.
Everybody from Georgia seems cool.
Yep.
Have you met somebody you don't like from Georgia?
Not yet.
Eventually, we'll meet somebody. Thinking about it, no.
I mean, I've only met a hand few.
I don't know. But, Iowa Classic is this weekend. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think our booth 906, I believe.
Question mark.
Come see us. We have special tall boy koozies. Also, we're uploading more stuff to Carbon TV. I started doing that today.
And we're... Before you go too far, at the Iowa show, we're going to have limited edition Iowa t-shirts. So
yeah, get them there because you won't get them on the store online.
And once they're sold out, they're out. So
we can't afford to keep making shirts. Right. We're struggling. Ohio show was moved, and we will not be able to attend the new date. So we pulled out of Ohio, but we'll be in They moved it from Madison, Wisconsin to Wisconsin Dells.
That's right.
At the Kalahari Resort. We will be there. Don't ask me what our booth number is because I don't know.
I have no idea.
But we'll be there. We're there next to our buddies from Prairie Storm Outfitting from Kansas.
I tell you what, walk down every aisle till you see us. That's where we'll be.
You'll see us there. Look for a bunch of drunk dudes in Wisconsin. Well, that's pretty vague for Wisconsin.
That's vague.
Look for guys with working class bow hunter hats on.
Yeah.
That says working class bow hunter on the booth. That's us. That is us.
We just need a real tall flag that we can put in the booth so everyone can see us.
We could do that. We need one of those car dealership guys that like waves around with his arms.
A real dainty guy.
Just put like a 20-foot tall one of those. I don't know. Do they have like a wind machine on them? Does the wind need
it's
to
like
blow?
A blower on
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, we're good then. We're good. All right, thank you for being here. Hope you enjoy this podcast, and we love you. Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Just Eric and I in the studio for this one, and joined on the phone, our friend Philip Culpepper. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going, man?
Just up here in Illinois. What's going on down south?
Man, not much. It's actually cold for us. I think it's in the 50s right now.
Oh, man.
Dang.
I feel bad for you guys.
It's going to warm up quick, but y'all are short-staffed up there, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
We manage. A couple cold beers and conversation will be just fine.
A little jump start.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Exactly. Well, man, I got to say thank you for jumping on the podcast. You're someone I've wanted on the show for a long time. And, I saw you made a couple posts on social, and I'm like, man, I gotta make this jump and get him on. So I hit up T-Bone, who was just on, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll connect. So he hooked us up, and I think you and I talked on the phone last week, never talked before for, like, hell, it seemed like an hour or so, just bullshitting.
Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, I'm glad you guys reached out. And obviously, you know, I think Michael Pitts had said something to me in the past about coming on with you guys. And then Travis called me. So I said, man, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Pitts. We need to get him back on. I miss that guy.
I'm telling you, he needs to be your voiceover guy. Read all your sponsor reels.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
He would do that. We should. All right. We're going to hit him up about that because it would just be. Way more professional, and he's just got the voice and the look for it somehow for radio. You know what I mean?
So, well, you definitely, once you get that niche, they're going to know, like, it's kind of like the commercials, the new style commercials on the Super Bowl that they have no audio, no music. It makes somebody turn their head and look at the TV thinking something's wrong. You're going to get people's attention when you have Pitts talking on there.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. But, yeah, I forgot. I was bothering him to get you on. That was, I think 2 years ago, roughly.
Man, that has been a while. I think it was during – I want to say it might have been during turkey season because I think I was headed to Tennessee and he called me one day. And then, you know, of course, during that time of year, I'm day-to-day, so I'm so scatterbrained. So I apologize.
No, we're the same way, man. Like, we all get how schedules are. But one thing before I forget, we have to add, this is like our sixth-year anniversary podcast that we're recording right now. So you got lucky and got to jump on that one.
God, man, that's crazy. It's just, that's what I was waiting for y'all to be going for. Make sure y'all made it for 6 years before I came on.
Right.
You're just waiting for that 6 year mark.
Yeah. I was like, if these guys can make it to the day 6 years, then I'll do it.
Then you're worthy of coming on.
Right. Prove they're serious about this type of stuff.
No, man, again, it's an honor. It really is. I know we talked the other day and I haven't done many of these at all. So, I apologize in advance.
Oh, dude, you'll be fine. We talked to some idiots, let me tell you.
That's true. And we're idiots ourselves.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah, we're idiots, so it's like you can do terrible and we wouldn't know a difference. We're just happy to be here. So, man, hey, talk to us first. Before we get into the, dare I say, political side of things. Not really politics, hunting politics.
The nitty-gritty
of that.
Yeah, people trying to make hunting politics.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. I want to start... Let's start with positivity. We'll break some of that stuff down, and then we'll end on positivity. How's that? So we just get...
That sounds awesome.
Let's talk about... I want to talk about Hunt Club and some of the other projects you got going on.
Well, first, we should probably say who he is and, like, tell us a little bit about yourself in case people don't know who you are.
There you go, Eric. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Well, so I'm from just north of Columbus, Georgia, down here, which is a town about an hour and a half south of Atlanta, and... I started, which Columbus is where Real Tree Camouflage is from. So, and I started my career at Real Tree when I was the week I turned 16, I got hired to pack boxes in the warehouse.
No kidding.
And so I went in there I knew I was getting my driver's license. I had my mom take me down there when I was 15. And the week before, and I filled out an application, and luckily DJ called me, and she's still there now. She's one of Bill's actually original employees from when Bill launched Realtree. So
that's awesome.
She's been there a while. So, anyways, I worked in the warehouse for a year, year and a half, packing boxes until I finally bugged David Blanton enough to give me a chance just to run camera and pick up a camera, and so it just kind of grew into that. And and my dad actually he's the Realtree farm manager now. He's been doing that for 16, 17 years. And cause I started about a year before he did, but my dad and Bill knew each other from the past. You know, they were friends way back and then they kind of got reacquainted. So, he's got a knack for the wildlife side. So obviously it was a perfect fit, but Yeah, man. So I just, you know, been very blessed to work there. And I worked at Realtree over 18 years. And just this past summer went out on my own and started doing this digital series, Hunt Club, doing it. And I'm still hosting Spring Thunder for Realtree. You know, that's still a very big passion of mine, obviously, and part of my life. So we're getting ready to kick that off for the fourth season. So
congrats.
Like I said, I'm not officially in the office day to day, but, you know, Realtree is still my family. So that's still where I'm at, man.
That's very cool, man. It's cool that you felt like that's essentially your first job, and it's kind of just routed your life in a way, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. And again, I was just, you know, even the, you know, I do all the editing stuff, and, you know, obviously we all mostly all self film on Hunt Club. So it's, but, you know, I know just enough to get by. So it's like, I never went to school for it or anything like that. So I literally, you know, got a high school education and came out and just luckily was surrounded by some, you know, great, great camera guys, producers, you know, through Realtree. And man, I just, you know, tried to take it all in and, you know, like I said, just tried to make it and, you know, thank the good Lord for this niche now and this digital side of things to where it's possible, you know, to do something like this. And, mm-hmm. you know, I never would have thought in high school I'd have a show on YouTube and be saying I was making a living. So, but at least for this year I am. I don't know. We may do another one next year and I'll be working out at the Chick-fil-A. I don't know. We'll see.
The Waffle House.
Yeah, or Waffle House. As long as they'll give me Saturday and Sundays off the turkey hunt, I'll be good.
Right. So, man, I mean, there are a lot of people that's probably seen your work through. I mean, if you've been filming for that long since you were that young, I mean, probably everything Realtree's done for the most part, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, again, I started, you know, just strictly as trying to get in the video department best I could just to get in before I was ever even, like, running camera or traveling. And then I started, you know, running camera a little bit and Bill actually once my dad had already been there at that point. My dad was actually running camera before I was. So, cause he was, you know, when that kind of created that position for my dad to work there and my dad was going on trips with him. And so when he would come home, I literally was just infatuated with it, trying to figure it out. Cause I mean, I didn't have a clue, you know, and between that and working in the video department, picking up with some of the guys, you know, it kind of grew from there and, you know, just strictly then running camera and then, you know, having a chance to start producing some stuff. And then, you know, that grew into finally and I think 2008 to like 2012, I produced Road Trips with Michael. So, you know, it's just, again, it's just, you know, trying to take it one step at a time and just keeping everything, all the tricks in the bag and putting them all together, you know.
Being a part of Realtree Road Trips, and we've talked about this a lot in the past, we think that show was like the show that changed what like new hunting media is.
Oh man, it's crazy, you know, and it was weird because, you know, that's when I was just getting into it as far as the, you know, I graduated high school in 03. So I was, you know, that last year of high school, I was year and a half, I was working after school at Realtree. So that was all kind of that push coming, you know, and when Road Trips launched in 02. So it was all, you know, I don't really know what it was like on the, if you want to call it the inside before that. So right, it was, right. You know, but it was just go, 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 go type deal. And that whole behind the scenes type thing was, I think, you know, and that kept me to an open mind because that filming around the clock, like we did at Road Trips in those early years of just the camera never cut off. And even back then, you know, it wasn't like dumping footage now. You would, you know, Steve Finch and Mark Womack would come off the road, and my job was to go through the tape, and I would log every clip inside the time code, log every clip. So even though I wasn't on the road then, I was going through, you know, everything they filmed, seeing all the uncut stuff and what it took to get a main episode. And man. So it was interesting, man, because I don't know what, if you want to call it the old days of TV were like, because that's all I've ever known, you know,
right.
As far as having getting my feet wet and hands dirty as far as editing. So, you know, and it's, but it is, it kind of creates, if you want to say creates that eye for you to where, you know, like, this is what we need. We got to have this to bridge the gap. We got to have, you know, type deal to keep it that behind the scenes type deal flowing. So, but it is, that show, man, was, was incredible. You know, it's just, and I think Michael will tell you the same thing. It literally, you know, it changed things, man. Just, you know, he's not obviously arrogant at all in that way, but and whether he would say this or not, I feel like that show did change the industry, you know, as far as, you know, everybody was, not that they were chasing Michael, but they were chasing that concept of how do we get to be behind the scenes. And again, Michael being who Michael is, so genuine. I mean, he is what he is on that show, and that's what made it so great.
For sure. Yeah. I grew up, you know, of course, it came out in 02, you said. So I was, is that right? 02?
I think it might have launched in 03. 02 was, I believe, the first filming year.
So I was like 12, 13 when it came out, man. I had the Realty Road Trips hat that I found at Walmart. I still have it. Like, yeah. I have all the DVDs, everything, man. I've like burnt them things out watching them. Like, my favorite hunt's that moose hunt they went on. Were you a part of that? Did you get to go along?
No, I remember I was there, and I remember I was, and I, man, I was like, golly, I would have to think, you know, and that's when I was first really getting into the filming a little bit. But I mean, I think I was still in high school.
No kidding.
So
that's crazy.
So I was still working in it. Like, you know, I was hoping to go on that trip just to be a grunt.
Yeah. Know, no just, kidding. Just no kidding.
To point and tell me what to do. But it was, I can remember I logged all that footage. There was, man, I'm trying to think. There was, I want to say, it was over 20 hours of footage they had.
I bet you've seen some cool shit that's never even seen the light of day, though, too.
Well, and it's crazy, man. And that's like, I mean, me and Michael have talked about this, even the way the digital stuff, like the way kind of we're doing Hunt Club now is, man, if we've got something that's just, we think's halfway decent of an episode, we're like, man, well, heck, I'll cut it together and we'll put it up. Like, man, tonight I posted a squirrel hunt. It's a 11-minute video of the guys cutting up, yelling at squirrels, and they killed two squirrels. Which, I mean, it's like, but it shows their personalities hanging out. You know, my nephew yeah. and niece went, and so it's like, but back then for the TV show, trying to fit in that 22 minutes of content, you would never even dream of putting that out there.
Yeah. What a challenge.
You know, it's like, to your point, if you had that digital style back then, man, you would have had, daggum, 6 months of footage from that Alaska trip.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's because there's so much stuff that didn't make it just because for time, you know?
How jealous were all your high school buddies that, like, you get out of high school and you're just, like, head first into the Realtree game and getting to do
this
stuff?
You got a career right after high school.
Yeah, with, like, a cool career.
Right.
It was weird because it's like, and obviously I grew up, I was, from the time I was 5 years old, infatuated with hunting. Like, you know, I was just good enough to make the baseball team, but it's like, my senior year, I didn't even play baseball because it cut into turkey hunting too much. So I was like, awesome. Man, I'm not, just because I would hunt before, I had my senior year set up where I only had a few classes. So I was like, man, I could, instead of having to play ball, I was like, heck, I can set this deal up where I can turkey hunt about every morning before school. I was like, you know, why not? Baseball ain't worth that, because I know I wasn't going anywhere playing baseball. I didn't think I was going, I didn't even consider any kind of hunting a career path at the time. I was just like, man, that's what my passion was.
That's cool, too, because you worked at Realtree.
Right.
Right. Well, and it's weird, man, because back then, and I don't know, you know, I had some buddies that hunted. You know, I got, like, my best friend was a year younger than me. He hunted a lot too, but he hunts now more than he did then because sports was so big, and he wasn't, nobody that I remember in school was infatuated with it like I was. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, I would remember coming in we had a physics lab coming in. I remember it was my senior year, and if I got there before lunch in that class, I wouldn't be counted absent. So I had my absences per, you know, whatever it is, semester timed out to where I would max them out. You know, I'd save them. So I would get there where they had passed a rule at our school to where you had to have a collared shirt on. So I went to a Christian school in Columbus. So I was like, all right, so you had to have your shirt tucked in, a collared shirt. So that's when I went out and got the, you know, the the Bass Pro cotton button up. And so I knew if I could just make it to school and get in there, I would change during lunch. So I would come in with a tucked in full button up camo shirt and decked out in camo.
decked out camo collared shirt.
right. So I'll never forget. I walked in that day and, our teacher was, he made an example of me because he knew what I was doing, but I mean, but there was nothing really he could do about it because I had so many, I was down to my allotted time, you know? So
right.
He was like, I'll never forget. He made me stand up in front of the class and this was right before the bell rang. And he said, you need to get serious with with your schoolwork and figure out, you know, get serious about life. He said, cause I'm telling you right now in front of this whole class, hunting and fishing will never have anything to do with you making a living.
Ooh.
And I'll never forget. He told me that, and I was like, man. And then it's just that always stuck with me. And so it was like,
where's that teacher now? Send him some DVDs.
Yeah, no
shit.
Well,
it's crazy though. So like, fast forward 4 or 5 years, he left there. He was big into video production. So he actually came to work at Realtree for about 3 years.
Oh, come on. You got to tell me you gave him some shit. So
he had never, in his first day there, I said, man, you remember what you told me senior year? And he said, I promise you, I've never forgot what I told you that day. He said, I'll kick myself for saying that. So it was almost a funny big circle of a story. It was like, man, you never know. You just, I mean, like I said, no matter what it is, if you got the passion for it, just go knock down doors and do it.
Okay. At least he was like humble and like owned it. I was going to say like, he was like a dick.
I don't remember what I told you.
Yeah. You could be hey,
he's a great guy, man. He was laughing about it. He's like, man, you talk about just having to eat my own words, man, because this sucks.
This sucks.
For like a couple of weeks, I would have just been in like boss around, hey, go move those boxes over there and then move them back over there.
Go clean the toilet quick.
Yeah. That's a good story, man. Well, cool. So that kind of is like I wanted to give your background a little bit, you know, with the road trip stuff and kind of build up to it. Now, I didn't want to just hop into Hunt Club and then the Spring Thunder stuff and people not – no, you know, at least on the first podcast with us, right. I wanted to kind of give your history and the effort and time you put in and the passion you put in a little bit of credit, at least.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, a lot of people don't know. I mean, and that's, you know, obviously the TV stuff has come on. My dad's on Realtree Outdoors a lot and stuff, especially the past few years, to where most people I talk to think that I work at Realtree just because of my dad.
Oh,
so
really?
Like nobody, you know, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most people just think, well, yeah, you're Roger's son that runs Bill's farm. And so I was like, yeah, but they don't realize my dad and Bill, yeah, they were buddies way back. But, you know, I went down there. I made it a point where I was like, I want to just try to get a job. I don't want to go in there with, hey, go hire my son. Let me just go in there and try to get a job, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, funny story about your old man. My first time I ever went to ATA, I was like starstruck, you know? And Your dad was walking by, and I stopped him and got a picture with him, and I felt like the whole time he was wondering why I was getting a picture with him. Like, he was really cool about it, but because I know you guys I was so into the Realtree. I grew up a Realtree kid, you know?
Like, he didn't suspect you to stop, or anyone to stop and take a picture with him?
I mean, maybe it happens to him often, but he just acted like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, kind of like, this is weird, but I mean,
man, that's funny. He's my dad, man. He's my best friend. He's just like everybody sees him on the videos and stuff too, to where he's just ate up with hunting, man. Just freaking, I mean, loves it. And like I said, that's where I get my passion from him and my uncle growing up. And that's all I could think about I can remember when I'd make bad test grades. I mean, you know, my mom would, I was more terrified of my mom still to this day than I am my dad, to where I would be getting out like, dad, you got to sign this test. And I'd be like in seventh grade, and he'd pull out, look at it. He'd be like, do not let your mama find out or else you're not going to be able to hunt this weekend. And so that was the one line all the time, to where it was like, man, that was always our escape and go to the woods. So it's cool to still be doing it with him.
That is cool, man.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. Hey, let's talk about Hunt Club. Break that down for everybody if they're unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, man. So it just started this August, and you know, it was an idea of just, you know, the more we, you know, I've got a couple of buddies around here I've been on a hunting club with, and I was like, man, we were one guy, Chris Staten, which his nickname's Cheeseburger. So he was the first time he got on this lease with us. I met him and I was like, man, and just some of the things he was saying to him, this was probably 3 years ago. And I was like, golly, I was like, man, this is, and this is when the digital stuff was kind of first getting going, I guess. And, or when I really, I guess not really getting going, but when I was really, I guess, paying attention to it more. And, I was like, God, man, this is the type of stuff people would, this unfiltered, just, you don't see any of this from the South really, because just what people go through of us. I mean, here we are, you know, at the time, again, I was traveling on the road everywhere for Realtree filming. And then I'd get home on the weekends. I'd be calling in from Montana, man. Hey, can you go corn my spot? Can you think you can keep corn on my spot? And just those conversations we had and the comedy, I was like, man. But at the same time, the guys, they were hardcore passionate about trying to kill deer. I was like, man, that's just, you know, it's respectable. I just think it will be a cool angle to try to show that side of things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then that I've had that just thinking of it. And I'd even talked with Daniel Thomas at Realtree. He's a producer at Realtree, and he's kind of over all the digital stuff now. And so me and him had talked about it for a couple of years. I said, man, that would be so cool. And I was like, just that side of things of showing the kind of the good old boys type hunting. And I was like, and if you could ever show them a consistent pattern, I was like, that's what people, it seems like they're latching on to versus just a big deer killed every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, we just kind of grew with it. And I was like, man, and then I got the thing. I was like, well, man, what'd you call it? And I was like, oh, I said, this, I think just call it Hunt Club. And I was like, that'd be just a cool name. And so then I was trying to get it trademarked and everything, you know, I had to, for me to technically get the name, I had to have my name attached to it. So that's the reason I put Hunt Club with Philip Culpepper. And it's just pretty much me and my, you know, Michael Pitts, one of my best friends, my dad, and then I got Cheeseburger, and then another one of my best friends, Nate Thomas. And it's just us kind of just showing the everyday life of, you know, trying to kill deer and turkeys and squirrels, whatever's in season. And like I said, I just getting back to the roots of what I really felt like, you know, in my opinion, this industry needs, of just hunting for the right reasons, for the passion of doing it and having a good time.
Absolutely. I like it, man. And I love the name. I love the name because it's kind of got that, it's short, it's simple, and it's different, but it makes perfect sense. Like, yep. It's a thing people hear, but it's like, I don't know, it's, you got that perfect blend of stick to the name, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, and I thought, man, if I could find the old napkins and pieces of paper, and even like the logo, I was going through so much stuff trying to just like, man, what, how in the world is, I was like, this is hell trying to figure out this out. Cause I was like, once you get it, you can't change it a year from now.
Right.
So I was like, it's gotta be something, you know? And it's like, everybody I talked to, like, well, I don't know, but you'll know it when you find it. And so I was like, man, so, you know, and I wasn't sure how to do it I wanted it to be something like we're part of the hunt. That's us. We're part of something like that. It's the more about the camaraderie and the belief around it than it is the actual.
It's like the culture.
Right. You know, and you know, kudos to hats off to Michael. I mean, he's almost the same thing he did with that type, with the brotherhood deal, to where it's, you know, I just want it to be something of like, man, you can go kill a three pointer. It's okay. It ain't, if you're happy with them and that's something you're proud of, by all means do it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's like, you know, and that's what I said. I just wanted it to be something like that. Cause I didn't want to be, all right, I'm going to start my own YouTube. It's going to be Philip Culpepper Outdoors. I was like,
it's been done before.
Yeah. No, nobody's going to look that up but me. So it's like, right. I mean, it's like, you know, so I don't know, it's something, you know, again, we're all a team, man, pulling for each other. And I was like, just, you know, I just wanted to show that side of, you know, it was just three of us at the time on that little piece of 300 acres we were hunting. You know, we were all had a target list of deer, maybe two deer on the whole place we were trying to kill. And it's like, all of us were happy for each other, no matter who got him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you hear a shot, you're hoping he got the big deer. And it's like, man, just that lifestyle of pulling for one another as hunters, man. I just like, man, something, I just feel like it needs to be represented better than it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, man. Social media makes it out to be like a competition, like between each other, when it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's just, man, and as good as social media is, it's just like, hey, gum and stuff. I feel like there's some people out there that just, you know, and trust me, I've been accused of it. People, you know, you post something, it's, oh, man, that's cool. I'll post it. Well, then I've got messages. You're posting this just to get likes and da-da-da. And it's, you want to say, well, what the hell's Instagram for? I mean, that's what everybody posts something for. So I was like, but the only thing that burns me is like, man, I'm doing it because it's my way of showing my passion.
Yeah, this isn't a new thing for you.
It's like, I'm not posting nothing just faking something.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, if freaking grasshopper hunting in Georgia was a thing, then we'd have a countdown on Hunt Club when grasshopper season was coming. So it's like that's the thing, and I think some of the people are just, I mean, overall, and just in this generation is doing things just for Instagram to be just to get. Well, like my thing is, I don't care what you post or don't post. If you're hunting, do it for the right reason. Do it to have the passion to grow the sport, to stand up for the sport, and do it the right way. And just don't ever do it just because it's cool.
For sure.
You know?
Right.
And, and so that's the, you know, I just feel like, I don't know if it is the millennial generation or what it is, man. It's just, you know, it's just gotten away from that. You know,
I think people who are,
that's just my take on it.
I agree, man. I think people who, because I'm 30. Eric, you're 32, aren't you? 31, yep. 30. We kind of grew up where there wasn't social media, and then there was, and then now the next generation knows nothing but social media.
Right.
So I think it's kind of our responsibility to kind of call out the bad, to tell, like, to have the next generation be like, oh, yeah, like, we have to, like, code of ethics in hunting has to be a thing. And not just doing things to get a picture for social media, even if it means like cutting a corner or breaking a law type of thing and making hunters look bad as a whole. So it's just different, man, different generations. And I still believe right now in the social media realm, we're in the Wild West. Like, I think in 10 years, it's going to be different. Because right now, you can have a career, and then tomorrow you could do or say something, and because of social media, your career is over.
Over with.
Oh, there ain't no doubt, man. It's nuts, man. It's just, you know, and it's like, you know, even like we talk about posting stuff, it's like if a Jake walks up right now, and if I'm with somebody and they're going to shoot him just to post him on social media, then that's where the lines cross, saying if you want to shoot him because you're pumped up and we're going to breast him out and eat him, then yeah, but don't. I'm not saying don't post it because it's a Jake. I'm saying don't shoot the turkey because you think it's cool to look like you shot a Jake.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's to where I just think it is like you say, it is a hard line to tell what's being crossed, but it's to each hunter out there who does it. You just got to, man, everybody just needs to look in the mirror and realize this is bigger than any one person, man. What we're fighting right now, we got to grow this sport. I mean, we've got to, it's bigger than anybody's personal Instagram. It's bigger than anybody's big deer they killed. It's bigger than anybody's YouTube video they got views on. We've got to be all in this for the way to make this fun and entertaining and why we got into the sport. Because I can promise you, there's shows out there now that make turkey hunting look like, when I was a kid, if I watched that, it'd be like, who wants to go slay the dragon, man? I thought turkey hunting was supposed to be fun.
Right.
And it's right. And it's like, I feel like that's just, and again, that's the challenge to everybody. That's kind of what we're getting on the topic of that video I did the other day. People with a voice with these social medias and these YouTubes, you know, and even you guys, it's like, y'all got the platform to speak to people. It's like, man, we got to spread the word to get people included instead of us. I just feel like this industry's come too much into, man, here we are, we're the lucky ones in the industry, we're the guys, chosen people to represent the outdoor industry. The outdoor industry ain't just the people making money off of it, it's everybody.
Yeah, right. It's people buying and the products, you know, and hunting and buying tags.
100%. I mean, it's more people doing that than it is me or you trying to get a little sponsorship deal to make ends meet, you know?
Right.
That's right.
And and I just feel like we've lost touch with that as an industry in whole, you know?
Well, man, I think too, you know, how you're saying on Hunt Club, like, yeah, we filmed a segment, you know, shooting squirrels. And I think So I this guy has been brought up a lot lately on the podcast because it's kind of like a good example, yet it shows like before and after, like the Chris Brackett deal. Early on in Arrow Affliction, he would go out and hunt, like, he'd go frog gigging but use his bow, and he'd shoot bullfrogs, and, you know, he'd have a riot, and it's like, oh, man, that's awesome. You get frog legs, and you go out there and get to shoot them with your bow. That's fun, something different. So that would motivate me to go out and shoot my bow. Well, then, kind of perfect social media example, kills a buck for a show, whatever, loses his career. But that motivation early on was something that got me. I'm like, man, I want to go shoot my bow. Like, oh, you can hunt this with a bow? I'm gonna go do that, you know. And squirrel hunting's not something that's on my radar because half the time I don't want to squirrel hunt where I deer hunt or whatever here, but we have our squirrels in Illinois are like small dogs. They're huge. But
we'd call that just a red raccoon.
That's what they are. They're giant.
They're huge up here.
They're giant, and they'll eat an 80-inch shed in 2 days.
Freaking nuts!
I've found sheds with blood on the bases, and the G2s chewed completely off.
On a big shed. I don't know how they do it so fast.
It's sad, but what I like, you guys do that stuff. So for a kid that wants to get outside and kind of cut his teeth and maybe start on squirrel hunting or whatever, or somebody like me, like I've never gone squirrel hunting, I might be like, that looks like a riot. We should get the group together and all go out and kill squirrels.
That's a blast.
And kind of bullshit and have a good time. Hell, we'll strap GoPros on our heads and make a little 10-minute YouTube video out of it if we want. Like, something just simple, you know? So that's what's cool about what you're doing. Like, you're just showing you guys having fun doing your thing because you live it.
Well, I'm sure
right. 100%. You know, like you said, it's and now, you know, like I talked about a little bit earlier, this digital era of stuff. Man, you don't ever know where it's going to go. You can start doing that and cutting little videos together, and it could be the next Justin Bieber of the hunting industry. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You don't ever know. I mean, look at all the if you really, if you look back, all the people that's been found musically on YouTube and how, you know, and the words, I think all of us as hunters are just a little bit behind on the YouTube side of things. So obviously we're trying to get there, but I'm just saying, you never know what's possible whenever you go do it. And like you said, just especially kids now, they're just infatuated with having a YouTube channel. I mean, they can go and do their own little squirrel hunt and do their own little show, you know?
Right from their phone too. I mean, these cameras are getting so crazy on the phones, you could almost do it right from there.
Oh, it's nuts, man. It is freaking insane I sound like an old man. I'm 35, but it's like saying this, like, it's crazy just to think of the cameras, how far they have come just since I started videoing at Realtree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's freaking nuts.
I can remember insane.
I can remember filming Bill Jordan in Arizona, and man, carrying a freaking 40-pound camera and a 25-pound tripod. I mean, I was like, man, I'm going to die. That's the only time I wish I'd stayed playing baseball for another year. Because I was like, man, I was like, holy cow. Man, it's like, now, I mean, like these cameras we're running, I run for hunt club stuff, man. It ain't nothing. I can carry it in with a deer standing steps to go hang.
Damn near fit in your pocket.
So, yeah, I mean, it's nuts.
Oh, even like GoPros now. Like we have a couple of Hero 8s and they're just insane for what they are. You know, you never thought an action cam. Like I found one of my old action cams like when they first came out, and I don't know how many, like what the quality was, but it's absolute garbage. But it was like, at the time, it was like, this is awesome.
Right.
Now it's like the GoPros or whatever new action cam is like 4K. I didn't even think they have 8K now. I don't know anything about video, but it's insane.
It's nuts. I can remember Steve Finch and Mark Womack in the years of, this would have been 04, probably 05, maybe. Anyways, they had gotten this, they wanted like a barrel cam, and this was before anything could come out. And they literally, and I'll never forget, Michael had nicknamed it, we all called it the Green Weenie Cam. And it was, we had it strapped to the barrel, and it was underneath, and it literally, think of how long, and this hadn't really been that long ago, but, and it had a wire that ran from the camera, and you zip tied it, it ran down the barrel, and it ran to the back, and like, either Michael would put it in the back of his turkey vest, and it literally had a cassette housing for a cassette tape you recorded to.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
That's hilarious.
Like, you would have to, like, hit hit record on it. Like if something was going, you had to take it out and hit record and stick it back in your, and it was literally like the tape, like rolling on a wheel tape.
Like a VHS tape.
It was like, it's like, man, it's just, I can remember just, it's crazy. Now you got like Tacticam and even like GoPro, it's just a touch of a button and you're recording.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's nuts.
That's what I did. I mean, I brought one GoPro and recorded my bear hunt last year. I just had it screwed to a tree, like, and hit the button, and it turned out pretty good for the quality of footage. But, I mean, you know what I mean, for what it is.
Oh, yeah, and, like, a ton of stuff. I mean, shoot, I bet 70% of Hunt Club stuff is all GoPro.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all that. But, again, it's you know, obviously the quality's there, too, and the audio's I bought a little, like a media mod that's got an external mic on it that helps out with the audio a little bit. But
I got the same thing sitting right here. I'm holding it. It's a sweet setup, man. Now that the
thing's you can get the light on it and everything. But the GoPros, man, they're so easy. You can cut them on so fast. You get so much more actual, like, real time content where you don't have to go back and reenact. Like, if you even have a hunch that something's going to happen, you just hit that button and it's recording.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember back, you have to, like, hang on, and you have to stop everybody and cut the camera on, let it boot up, then hit record. I mean, it used to be like, you'd miss the whole moment, you know? It'd be
like dial-up internet, you're waiting for it to connect.
Oh, man, it was crazy. Man, it was like, it was nuts during hunting during the rut back in the day, because the cameras, they used to take about, the big cameras, like 15 seconds to boot up.
Oh, no shit.
So it would be, oh, man, so it would be like,
you had a pole start.
It was like, what? Oh, to ever like cut it off and just sit down for a second. It was like you couldn't do both. Like, man, if you're gonna sit down, you got to leave the camera on. And so then it's, you know, so it was.
It'd mix your fuel, prime it, pole start it, get it going,
pull the choke.
Yeah, spray it with ether and get it going.
Spray some ether. Yeah, it's like, well, here it is. Deer's gone, but here it is. Hey, man, I don't want to skip over this before we get into the hunting politic thing. I want to talk about Spring Thunder because I was dabbling around on, I mean, I think it was last spring, wanting to get warmed up for turkey season. I downloaded Realtree 365 on my Roku TV, and I was thumbing around through there, and I was like, ooh, this looks good. So I started watching that, and I was watching you guys. I think you did a hunt with Michael. You guys killed a bird. Super vague, right? Because you guys probably kill 1,000 birds together. But
man, you'd be surprised, man. That's the first time me and him from this past spring. I'll tell you that back. We went to Montana 2 years ago together. But as far as, and it's crazy to think, I mean, we literally are about 12 minutes apart from where we live apart. You would think we would go a few times a year. But, man, that's the first time I've hunted here at home with him in probably 5 years.
No kidding.
And, but sorry to cut you off. I was going down memory lane there.
No, you're fine, man. I enjoyed it. I know you as a turkey guy. Like, when I think Realtree and Philip Culpepper, I see you as, like, I just, for some reason, that's, and I'm, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong there, but when I think turkeys and Realtree, I think you.
Right, well, and you know, and I appreciate that. That's definitely the main platform I got with Realtree, you know, was having a chance to really, you know, because I was, you know, nothing changed. I changed a lot of my deer hunting tactics the more knowledge I got being around people at Realtree and turkey hunting too. But I was every bit of passionate I am now. I was the same way when I was in sixth grade. So, I mean, I was just infatuated with turkeys. That's all I had on my brain from January till June. And so it was that kind of bled over. It led me into the opportunity when I was at Realtree running camera. When Realtree had some, you know, clients coming in and partners coming in, I would go film and guide people and take them, you know, call up turkeys for them. So that's kind of where, and that's really kind of what gave me the opportunity on Spring Thunder when, you know, we were killing so many turkeys. So I was like, man, they wanted to do a turkey deal. And so I was like, man, I was, you know, one of the guys that just lived and breathed it. So, you know, it was kind of a natural fit there.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, man. If you want to get, for everybody listening, if you want to get revved up about turkeys, get on that Realtree 365. And Eric's not a turkey guy, which is funny. He's sitting in here going,
I'm like the turkey hater of the group.
Yeah, but for everybody else, get on Realtree 365 and check that out, because, man, it got me pumped up watching it. And I'm just now getting more and more ramped up into turkeys as we go along. I've killed a handful, but I get more excited each year about it.
Well, you need to come. Y'all need to come down here and get you a dose of these southern birds.
I'd love to, man. And I'm sure you hunted Illinois for birds, but we do a turkey palooza every spring. So if you ever want to come up and kill a bird in Illinois, you're more than welcome to come along.
I'd love to, man. I've never turkey hunted in Illinois.
No kidding. Well, we'll have to make it happen next spring.
Yeah, I would love to. That'd be awesome because I still would, you know, Eddie Salter is trying to do, I don't know where he stands now in the states, but he was trying to kill one in all 49 states that have them. So I try to get one, you know, try to get one or two states a year to go somewhere I hadn't ever been.
We'll get you and Pitts to come up next spring because I think the applications are closed now for non-resident in Illinois. But next spring, get you and Pitts to come out. We got a place for you guys to stay, and we'll do some podcasts and try and kill some birds.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I want to be able to come back, though. Normally, any time me and him go somewhere together for the first time, we don't ever get invited back. So,
well, hey,
we know you guys well enough.
Yeah, we've talked to Pitts enough. We know that he fits in with us pretty well. Typically, we're the ones that don't get invited back, so maybe we found our niche here.
Well, we'll hit it off good in camp, then.
yeah, for sure.
I'm sure we will. Hey, let's talk about this the stupid hunting. I don't even want to call it a law because it's not a law. So you're down in Georgia. I apologize on that.
Back up.
My brain, this kind of flusters me a little bit. So I saw you made a post early last week sometime, I think it was, the time of recording this. Basically, a neighboring county to you is trying to ban the bow hunting. They've already banned firearm hunting, and they're trying to ban bow hunting now.
Yeah, man. So I'm still, like I talked to you, I've done more research on it, trying to figure it out, you know, and get just so I want to make sure I'm talking correctly on this deal. But pretty much the county next to me, which is the county I went to school in, grew up in, the, you know, literally from where I'm sitting right now, my truck's, you know, less than a mile, county line is, they're pretty much from what I gather, the county,
what county is
city
it?
City council, it's Muskogee County, Georgia. So they don't have the authority. The city council has no authority anywhere in Georgia. This is where it's going to kind of grow into be a bigger deal, is they can't change any game laws. That's DNR's job. That's the Game and Fish, Georgia DNR, Department of Natural Resources. They're the ones who control all the game laws.
Mm-hmm.
So, and restrictions. So what they're trying to do is pass a city ordinance that potentially could grow into a countywide ordinance of you cannot discharge a bow, any bow and arrow, unless you're on a tract of land that's at least 10 acres.
So even if you own 2 acres and you want to shoot your bow in your driveway to practice, you can't shoot it?
Can't do it.
What?
So, and again, that's going to, you know, because some people, oh, well, I mean, you know, this and that. So the problem is that's they don't have anything drawn up in there about hunting because they know it's going to get shot down because they have no jurisdiction on hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already outlawed the, you know, you can't discharge a firearm inside the city. So now it is going to be where they're trying to get the bow kicked out, where there's going to be no hunting. So but then on top of that, I've found out since, I'm trying to pull it up now on my phone, the actual name of the bill, but they're introducing a bill to the Georgia legislature, I guess, that is, it's HB 471. They're trying to do that now across the state of Georgia to give this back to all these cities, the right to determine if they want to do this.
Oh, really?
So now it's going to trying to make it grow legs into, you know, there's going to be Muskogee counties that they're what we're going through here are going to be statewide. So, and again, you know, you get into all these, you know, like in a little bit in that video, I touched on people who are ignorant on hunting or don't know, and they've got somebody in their ear trying to move the cause for this bill, and they're feeding them information that's, you know, making them feel like they're in danger for somebody bow hunting, and they're going, that's how this stuff's going to get passed, you know, if we don't stand up and fight it. So
right now it's just in city limits, right? It's not like the whole county.
Right. Right now they're trying to do it in the city limits, but I mean, it's so vague. Cause they even got in there with permission you can, and this and that. But I mean, we all know where that goes to where,
right.
You know, if it's there, and again, all this is coming from supposedly one person, a guy shot a deer. It ran over on somebody's across the line, and he did the right thing and went to their house, knocked on the door, asking for permission. And that whoever that was flipped out and called the city councilman and, you know, and I've talked to one of the local game wardens for a long time about it, you know, and he was just like, their whole thing is them coming on my property, this and that. Like, we've got a law for that. It's called trespassing. Putting this law in effect ain't going to change that. It's just like, already got, you know, trespassing and doing damage to property. So it's like, It's just, it's sad. You know, it's like we had talked last week. It was just, you know, some of the lines that the guy's saying there is about, you know, we don't want to find arrows laying in the streets, and we don't want we know bow hunters, when they see a big buck across the property line, they're not going to care about a property line. It's like, and that's putting words in people's mouths and making us as hunters look bad.
Yeah, 100%.
And I was like, that's why we can't just sit there and take it. You know, and we got to stand up.
Well, so I pulled up hunternation.org. Or you can probably, guys, if you're listening, just Google Hunter Nation. And I found it here. Here's the write up. Georgia County to shut down bow hunting. This is from February 22nd, 2021. I'm just going to read a section of this real quick. That way everybody can kind of, because right here it's got like what you can do about it. So I want to read this. Columbus Mayor Skip Henderson and several members of the Columbus City Council in Georgia want to ban bow hunting for deer in Columbus and Muskogee County on any tract of land less than 10 acres. If the ban is passed, it would trample on the hunting rights of thousands of people. Rights that are protected by the Right to Fish and Hunt Amendment in Georgia's Constitution. Moreover, local government in Georgia has no authority to regulate hunting. Only the DNR can do that. So everything you just said. Hunters need to act now to stop the ban on bow hunting. Here's what you can do. 1. Attend the Columbus City Council's meeting at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, March 9th. So I need to launch this podcast before then. Let me write that down.
Yeah. Well, and I literally, before we got on the phone, and that's what I was going to say, I just found out from my buddy Brooks here locally, that's when they changed it, because they apparently pulled it back because of, I think, so much backlash to get more information. And that's the reason they moved it, because originally it was, like you said, the 23rd.
Oh, really? Okay. So they knew we were recording this podcast and people were going to be pissed. Hunter Nation
I think within those, after Hunter Nation got involved, you know, and kudos to those guys. Thanks so much. I know Michael Waddell himself was involved with it. You know, he talked to them, and them guys were ready to fight and come down here that night. And I think they all the feedback just from what I got, I think that's when they decided to pull back. So, all right, well, let's postpone this because they had a lot of, I think they knew they stirred up the hornet's nest.
Yeah. Oh, I bet, man. Well, so one thing here, let me say this. And what I think I'm going to do, if you're listening to this, you know, it's obviously redundant, but I think we're going to do an intro that gives us information in the intro. That way people can get the info and then hear the details here where we're at, like mid episode. Attend the city council meeting, gives the address, Columbus Trade Center, 801 Front Avenue, Columbus, Georgia. Email and call the Columbus City Council members and tell them no unconstitutional restrictions on bow hunting in Columbus and Muskogee County. And there is a ton, 10 contacts from the different districts. District 1 through 10 is what it is, with everybody's email listed and phone numbers. So we can blast them and let them know.
We'll make a post so everyone call them and tell them not to do this.
Yeah. So.
Well, and you know, like I said, man, it's a, you know, I appreciate you guys, you know, wanting to, obviously got us going on here to talk about it, because we're all one here as a voice. You know, if it happens here, it can happen anywhere. And when we got to stand up for what's right. And again, it's there is a, in the Constitution of Georgia, it is a right to hunt. It's not a privilege. It's a right to hunt. Well, the way I interpret this, if they're regulating that, that's an infringement upon a right of the Constitution.
That's sure what it seems like, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so to me, that to me would seem like it would make it null and void right there.
Agreed.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you this, Philip. You know, this scares us a little bit. It scares me more than it scares Eric, because Eric is an Iowa resident. I'm an Illinois resident, which Chicago controls everything we do, and they're so anti-gun. I mean, not everybody, right? But I'm speaking generally for Chicago here. I just don't think they're going to be down for hunting if they're not down for the Second Amendment. So, and Illinois is probably one of the biggest crock of shit states as far as politics are concerned. And
let's just say, too, let's say Georgia, these guys do pass this or make it work somehow. What's to say other states don't jump on this and follow suit?
Don't think there's not wolves laying in the grass just waiting for this to get passed.
Yeah, exactly.
I can tell you, man, I promise you, there's already eyeballs on it just seeing the response.
Yeah, there'll be people celebrating if this goes through, which is messed up.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. Like I said, I think this is a true test to us all as outdoorsmen, as you know, whether you bow hunt or not, whether you deer hunt or not, whether, you know, again, obviously this hits home to me. I'm a hunter and outdoorsman, and do I have any land in Muskogee County? No, it's not gonna, but I mean, the point is we're all one here, and not only as hunters, but like my niece, she shoots archery for the middle school. So, I mean, under this law, they can't even do that as an activity of the school.
God, it's messed up.
That is crazy.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it's just a mischanging a whole lifestyle, something like this. I mean, you know, I think we all saw the gun thing coming and people, but I don't know that I imagined they would be going after bow and arrows like this. I mean,
No kidding.
But it just goes to show you the true motive of it. It's just people that are against hunting and against this lifestyle that we live.
Yeah. Oh, dude, absolutely. It's attack on our culture.
I mean, it's just sad. It's a sad day. But again, that's why I say, you know, if everybody nationwide's got to stand up to this thing and vice versa, when it comes up somewhere else, it's got to be, we're all one here. We got to have each other's backs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So everyone listen, we'll put the link to this with all this information in the description of the episode. So as soon as you hear this, get in there and, write some emails, make some phone calls. All their numbers are on here. I mean, that's strength in numbers. Way to shut it down before it even gets going, you know, is what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, man. I've got a buddy around here, Brooks Pig. He was telling me today, he actually shared this, and I'll send y'all the link to this too. It's called Georgia Field. It's for this. They wrote an article up on this, this bigger bill they're trying to do statewide. But he actually shared that post with all the, he went and looked up everybody's numbers and contacts who voted for it, and he shared that, and Facebook actually censored his post.
No kidding.
Yeah, he went back and looked, and it was on no news feed, so he had to screen grab it and share it again.
No shit. They shadow banned it.
Like, I mean, they tell y'all, everybody talks about the big tech, and it's like, man, it's from the top all the way to the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Well, I mean,
just if it, any of us.
Let's hope that us just talking about it here will get some people. I know we have some hardcore listeners in Georgia, so.
Maybe we can do a post before we launch this, too, just to try and help out before this meeting actually does happen.
Yeah, we'll do one in between. Well, I mean, I don't know enough about it probably that we should, but at least we're got the platform where we can talk about it and bring awareness to it and hopefully kick it in the ass before it even gets going.
Well, like I said, for sure, it don't matter where the feedback's coming from, and it don't matter if it's Alaska, you know, it's just letting them know that we're all one voice here, you know, and that's what matters. And like I said, I'm still trying to get educated on it more and more, because when I did that video on Instagram, I literally had found out about it like the night before, because it was so, but that, and that's what's scary too, was something like this almost got slipped in without nobody even knowing about it.
Right. You that know, shows how snaky
Georgia
politics
News
are.
Wrote up a big article on it, thank goodness. And then, like I said, you know, I spoke with Michael, and Hunter Nation was big time. They got caught wind of it, and they're ready to fight it. So, I mean, you know, it's just, thank goodness for, because you think back, man, you never would think even 5-10 years ago of having a group like that to support hunters and stuff, because you never thought we needed it. It's like,
yeah,
no
kidding.
We got it. I mean, that's what we got, because again, and I'm guilty too, is, man, we got to all step up and be a voice for this and have each other's back.
100%. 100%. Well, man, I hope we at least make a little difference. I mean, people call, blast them up, email them, write them, tell them to kick rocks, that this isn't going to fly type of, you know. You be respectful, make us seem like educated humans here, but you know, show your emotion at the same time with getting your point across.
Right, 100%. Again, thank you guys for bringing awareness to it.
Yeah, no problem, man. I saw that your post about it, and we actually got a few messages on it on Instagram too, and it's like, it's not good. It scares me living in Illinois. You know, it's just some of the game laws we have don't make a ton of sense here, and I can just see it happening with the political angle of our state, you know.
Well, and it's just crazy. Like, they're trying to do this down in Georgia, but right across the river in Iowa, we have a city hunt where we can go and shoot deer in city limits with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Well, plus, like I said, I'm – after this year, man, which I know it's been 2020 has been a hell of a year, but down here in Georgia, I don't know what's going on. I'm scared to even drink the water anymore. Man, we've done flip. It's crazy. I darn sure never saw this coming. So
yeah, no kidding. That's a good point. In Georgia, of all places. Well, right. It's you got just like you got people fleeing California to go to Texas type of thing. It's like pretty soon Texas is going to have the reputation of being California.
Oh yeah,
I hope not.
Oh, I know, man. It's nuts. I mean, like I said, that's why we gotta, you know, because I know we are, and this obviously the generation is coming more and more being vocal in our corner. But man, we've always been just the kind of the good old boys to sit back and take it on the chin. And man, we gotta, like you say, we gotta have an educated civil fight about this and stand our ground.
Right. Absolutely. Definitely. Definitely. Well. We'll see, man. It's March 9th is the meeting. Attend the Columbus City Council's meeting at 5:30, Tuesday, March 9th. Hunter Nation members will be there to testify against this ban, so that's good.
Yeah, and I'm hoping I'm actually going to be in Florida, so I'm hoping I can try to get back possibly.
Yeah, 5:30 on Tuesday, March. Okay, gotcha. Well, I'm going to try and put this episode out before Iowa Classic now, seeing that date. I was going to put it out mid-March, but now I'm going to try and get it out. So if you're listening, it doesn't matter. You're listening to it. So,
right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just now pulling up the calendar. I didn't realize that was – heck, that's a week from tonight. So
yeah, yep. It is.
Yep,
it is.
A week from tonight.
Oh, man. Crazy shit out there, boys and girls.
Yeah, you have to keep us updated if you go to that meeting and see how it goes.
Yeah, well, for sure. If I can get back and go to it, I will 100%. If not, I'm going to try to have some intel, some boots on the ground to get some feedback.
For sure.
Definitely. Well, cool, man. I don't want to end on that like negative-ish vibe, you know, but
heck no. I get it, man. We're fighting a good fight, man. We ain't conquered yet. Like I said, I'm hoping this will spur something to where it'll wake everybody up, you know, and freaking let's get out there and like I said, be civil about it, but be confident and let your voices be heard.
Yeah.
Send Pitts up there. You know,
y'all, I hope it's a wake up call to everybody across the country, man. It can happen, and it's going to happen. It's coming.
Right.
Yeah. Send
Pitts up there. He's not afraid to speak his mind.
Pitts would be up there. He'd be at the front door with a Hank Jr. flag waving it.
Hank Jr. flagging a huge dip in.
Yeah. He'd have a dang sleeve in his back pocket.
I miss him. We got to call Michael Pitts, man. But no, man, hey, I appreciate you doing this. I hope you come back. And I think, man, next spring we ought to plan an Illinois turkey hunt or something. Yep. You and Pitts come up and hang out for a few days and podcast and cut up.
Absolutely, man. I'd love to. Like I said, I've never hunted up there for turkeys. And you just give me some dates and we'll make it work. And it's hard to believe turkey season's here. I mean, I leave Thursday morning for Florida to go down South Florida. So it's I don't know where. I feel like just last week I quit deer hunting, so right. I don't know where all the time went.
You'd be hunting turkeys on the beach, or how's that work? I've never been to Florida. Yeah.
Man, it's more like hunting them in the swamp down there.
Is it really?
It's down there. It's we're gonna be just north of the Everglades.
Oh, no kidding! So it's just Osceola birds, huh?
Yeah, it's about as deep south as you can go, man. And it can get in some hairy situations down there, but it's fun. It's fun to hunt them, and they're little turkeys, but they're aggressive little suckers, man. They're mean.
Oh, are they? How do they compare to an Eastern?
Easterns can be, but man, by rule of thumb, what I've seen, the Osceolas are about the meanest.
No kidding.
That's awesome.
If you got one with a decoy, they'll come. They'll just run right through you.
How big are they compared to an Eastern?
If you get on down there, there's some guys that get on there and they're like, 15, 16 pounds.
Oh, no kidding.
But you get into some, they're maybe 18 pounds.
So, a little smaller, not a huge, well, I guess 15, 10 pounds smaller roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you get down there, like in the glades and the swamp, man, like I said, there's some of them that are just, they're like big chickens. I mean, they're just, but it's crazy those, what you think, I grew up around here about setting up on a turkey and what those turkeys down there will do. I was at a NWTF banquet one year at a buddy's and an old guy was talking to him about turkey hunting. He said, man, as I can remember back, he said, more than several times, more than once, you call be a turkey, be gobbling through a swamp. He said, man, you'd be looking and you look down through that water and he goes, you just see a weight coming and it'd be wading beard deep through that water just coming to you, coming to a call.
No kidding.
Yeah. And because he said, man, but that's their,
they live
there.
That's what they
live in. That's like, that's how they get around. I say flying. And he said, man, they're so used to walking through water and coming through mud and stuff. He said, it's nothing like it is traditionally where you wouldn't set up. He said, you just, if they're gobbling, you sit down and wait on them.
Swimming turkey.
It's funny, down yeah. south, some guy's calling a turkey through a swamp, and I'm up in Illinois trying to call a turkey around a stick.
Yeah, we're worried about a blowdown up here, and then they're calling them across the dang alligator pit.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a good point, too. It's like these turkeys just don't care. They'll fight an alligator. Yeah. They're that aggressive.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, they got them. They're between that and the dang pythons and the cougars and panthers, man, they got them. They got about everything down there.
God, I didn't think about that. I don't know if I want to go to Florida, man.
It's man, they got black bears. It's like a dang jungle.
And they're always on Cops. It seems like all Cops episodes are filmed in Florida.
Man, I'm telling you something. If y'all want the craziest game you can play, you could get on Google, type in your birthday in Florida.
Oh no!
And type in your name in Florida, and just see the stories that come up.
No,
it will blow your mind. It don't matter. That's how much crazy stuff happens down there.
Is it just because it's nice out most of the time?
Articles of days on your birthday and like, or people with your name.
I don't know if the moon stays full down there year round. I don't know what happens. But man, you can type in your birthday right now, Florida, and just see what comes up. It's insane.
Oh man. Okay. I will do that after this.
There'll be just headlines come up. Just news articles. It's insane.
Oh man, okay, maybe I do want to go to Florida. That might just be an experience, in itself.
I'm telling you, man, I've never seen nothing like it, but you're right. I mean, Cops could, that ought to be their home base down there.
It probably is. It's like where Realtree's based in Georgia. Cops has got their own like setup there. There's some kid just out of high school begging to film for Cops right now.
16 years old, just got his license.
Yeah. The next thing you know, Cops Road Trips is getting fired up. Just a Cops version of Philip Culpepper protege just getting brought up.
I'm telling you, man. I'll give you an example on the deer hunters out there to show you how crazy they are. Their rut, and the peak of their rut is the middle of July.
What?
July? Kidding. The middle of July.
They have antlers in July down there?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's another planet.
It's like they don't need tags, and they can shoot like a deer a day or something in season. It's
something crazy.
Oh, and if you kill a one of the places we're turkey hunting with, I was talking to the guy because I was like, man, I'd like to go in there and do a dang rut hunt just because who does that in July?
No kidding.
And they said July, they're wide open. I mean, like,
really?
July 4th on, they're wide open just chasing grunting.
Dude, that's crazy.
I'm mind blown by this.
But if you kill a 120 down there, it'd be like killing a 180.
Right.
Well,
it's probably 140 degrees.
I would love to. I'd go down there and kill a 100-inch deer in a heartbeat. That's just the environment they're in, I mean.
Yeah. I'd like to just kill a deer in July legally just to see what it'd be like.
Got to hunt your underwear.
Oh, but... no, I had one guy tell me, he said, yeah, we don't hunt in the morning as much because the mosquitoes are so bad. He said, but afternoons, it's so hot, the mosquitoes aren't bad.
No, it's that so hot like, that the mosquitoes don't come out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You got to hunt your underwear down there.
Man.
I mean, man, just think about what it's like. I had one of my Spartan cameras out the other day sent me a picture from where we're turkey hunting, and it was 93 down there Sunday.
Home.
So, in February.
Imagine what it's like in July 4th weekend.
No thanks, man. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I no longer want to shoot a deer in July.
No, I'm good on the July deer thing in Florida. But you have to let us know how your turkey hunt goes, man. That'll be awesome. We'll have to do an update.
Yep, for sure, man. Like I said, we need to jump back on and do another one, have an update of turkey season, see how it goes. Maybe when Drake comes down, we'll have plenty of windshield time. We can talk.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Cool. Let's do it. Well, cool, man. I think we'll wrap it up there, man. I appreciate you jumping on.
Yes, sir. I thank you guys again for the opportunity. Like I said, anybody out there, man, y'all look at the links below and support, you know, support this thing and get behind it because it's going to take everybody's voice.
Yeah. Hey, don't hang up when we get done here. Real quick before we close out, tell everyone where they can find Hunt Club.
Yeah. So Hunt Club is on the Realtree 365 app. And it's, we got our own YouTube channel, Hunt Club with Philip Culpepper.
Very cool.
So if you can subscribe and follow us and give us some feedback, what y'all want to see, what you don't like, and try to understand everybody because we're all from Georgia.
That adds to the flavor of it, man. So, all right, man. Appreciate you. Eric, you got anything to add?
No, just thanks for coming on, man.
All right, everyone.
Yes, sir, buddy. Thanks
for listening. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.